Good morning, everyone. Before we commence today's lecture, I would like to ask you if you have any questions from the previous lecture. Just raise your hand and we can take them very quickly. Any questions? No? So I assume the last lecture was quite easy and everyone has been able to understand it, right? But if you still come up with any questions, take a note of it and I can take them during the break. Okay. Yeah. So today we are still in the week 42. We in the last week had a very quick look at the basics of XML, the syntax of XML, the purpose of XML, different advantages. We looked at what is the well-formed XML and how it differs with the HTML. Okay. Today we are going to look at the XPath. XPath is an expression to traverse the XML tree. Okay. So XPath provides us with some set of queries or expressions, as you may call, and these expressions will help us select certain nodes, pass certain nodes, display certain values of the nodes, okay, or query the XML tree itself to pick some values that we are interested in. Okay. So that is what we will see in today's lecture. And if you have any questions during the lecture, please just raise your hand and we can take them. So in the previous lecture, we looked at what well-formed XML imply and what does that mean. Anyone of you remember some very basics? Still sleepy to answer? Yes, so the first thing we talked about that a well-formed XML structure is in which you explicitly close any opening tags, right? So whatever tag we are starting with, we have to close it explicitly. Also, we talked about that there should be only one root node in the tree. Like the tree, it has only one root. Same for the XML, we should have only one root, and then we could have multiple branches that ends up in the different leaves such as nodes. Okay. All the elements have an explicit end, correct nesting, so we could have multiple hierarchy in the XML structure. We could have attributes and the values of the attributes should always be in the quotes, either single quote or double quote. We cannot place any comments inside the tags and we cannot use some of the special characters such as less than sign and and sign. We looked at how we can replace them with the different symbols and their values. Okay. So if we have a tree something like this, and this is an XML file tree structure, and looking at the tree you can perceive which one is the root node, what are the child elements, the grandchild elements, okay, and how is the hierarchy looks like. So for example, if we see A is on the very top, that means that A is the root node. So that means our XML tree structure is well formed because we have single root node. And then we have multiple elements, all are branching out from the root node. So the first three elements B, B and H are at the same level. Then the next element C, C, D are on the same level. So you can see the hierarchy between them. So if in the exam you have these kinds of tree structures with values rather than A, B, C, with actual node values, you should be able to convert it into an XML file, right? Now, if you have to display the value, for example, the value of d. How you can do that? In the last lecture we saw that the XML is used only for data representation. We use XML to store data, to represent data in an efficient way. We cannot use XML itself to display the data. We need to use either scripting language or any of these programming languages. Today we are going to look at the XPath, which is an expression language developed specifically for the XML, so we can traverse through this different nodes in the XML and we can display the values that we are interested in. So that's the motivation behind the XPath, that we have an XML which is a very good representation. It helps us separate the data from the HTML code and from the other processing activities that we ought to do. Yet it cannot process and display the data itself. So we need a separate mechanism that can traverse the tree, move from one node to another node, jump from one location to another location, and display the value that we are interested in. So in order to do that, we need to know at which position particular node exists. So we need to know the location and we need to move using that location in the tree. Thus you could see the term location paths. So we have a certain path to go from root node to a particular node down in the tree list. Just keep in mind that the example we have here in the tree that you see has a limited set of nodes for this example, so we can understand it very easily. But you can very well imagine very long files with hundreds and thousands of tree elements. And then it becomes very difficult for individual person to just manually look at it and see what the values are. So quite often you need to use expressions to extract the value that you are interested in. And if you are obviously using this XML file with some of the applications, you need to process the XML file. Obviously, you are keeping the data as a well-formed structure, but you are not keeping it just for the storage purpose. You are going to use that data. And how you are going to use it? Using this XPath. So in this today's lecture, we will see these different terms that you see here. What are the abbreviated paths? What are the contexts, node test, attributes, predicates, and XPath functions? So these are all related to the XPath expressions that we are going to explore now. So XPath expressions are flexible notations for navigating around trees. So if you want to go from one location to another location in the tree, between the nodes, we need to rely on XPaths. This is a core XML technology that is widely used in XML schema. XML schema defines what the XML file contains, the attributes and the, let's say, the sort of data types. Then there is this XSLT, which is the translation language using which you can translate the XML file from its own format into another format. That could be a CSV file, that could be an HTML page script, that could be any other format such as CSV in which you want to convert that. So these are the different technologies which uses XPath expressions. That means if you have a data file and whatever you want to do it, wherever you want to use it, you need to have a mechanism using which you can traverse the trees. And the mechanism is XPath expressions. And all these different technologies such as XML schema, XSLT, XQuery, XLink and XPointer, these are applications which does some processing to achieve something. But in order to do that processing, they need to rely on some functionalities using which they can traverse the tree. And that's why we have all these applications are using XPath expressions. So if you can understand what the XPath expression is, how to write XPath expressions, then you should be able to understand these different other web related technologies also. Okay. If you look at this slide, you will see 7 different types of nodes. These are the same parts that we looked in the XML file structure also, and these are the same for the XPath expressions also. They are called node types, and there are 7 kinds of attributes associated with the XML file or the node type. And you, by now I hope you are very much familiar with all of these. Okay, we have the root, we have the element. In the element we can have attributes. The attributes could have values. Between those attributes we could have text. If we have naming conflict issues, if we have same kinds of attributes, we could use namespaces to differentiate between them. Okay. We could also use namespaces for specialized XML schema. XML schema which is created by one developer, and if I want to use it, and if we had made a public library of it, I can use the namespace and then I can check what elements he has used. So it's very much like defining the user defined tags as you have in HTML. In HTML we have predefined tags. In XML we have predefined tags that comes from the HTML, but we could have user defined tags also. So then we have processing instructions and comments. These are very easy. Now we'll come to the location path. Location path evaluates a sequence of nodes. Why we are evaluating the nodes? In order to check what that nodes contains. Maybe we might be interested in the value that the node has. We could be interested in what kind of elements, what kind of nodes we have in our file. We could be interested in any kind of data processing. That's why we need to understand what are the location paths and how to use it for this XPath expressions. The sequence is sorted in a document order. That means you traverse from one position to another in a sequence. You cannot move randomly. Although we can do that, but we can check. But whenever you are writing your path, it has to follow a certain sequence. It consists of certain parameters that defines what you are trying to do. And the sequence will never contain duplicates. And why it will never contain duplicates? Because as we have talked earlier, if we have duplicates in the attributes, that will give the error to the compiler, okay, and the XML file will not be a validated XML file. If the XML file is not a validated XML file, we will not be able to execute the XPath expressions properly also. Okay. So what is the location path? A location path is a sequence of steps. So we are moving from one spot to another spot, one node to another node, okay, in the tree. A location step consists of 3 parts. The first one is the path. The path could be a relative path and an absolute path. So do you know the difference between relative path and the absolute path? No? Yes? That's correct. So the relative path uses a context. So it has a context from where it starts its journey, the first step. and the absolute path always starts from the root node. Right? That's the same thing that you have been using when you browse your files or directories in your laptops, in your computers. Okay? If you are already in a one directory, you can jump directly from that directory to the other directory. For example, if you have a folder open and the folder is documents folder, and whatever files you have inside or whatever subfolders you have in the document folder, you can go directly from there. Okay. So if I want to open a document folder named XML and that is saved in all of your computer's desktop, okay. So what I can do on the desktop, I can double click the XML folder and it opens, but that is a relative path. The actual path is C colon double front slash name of your computer administrator path front slash okay user documents slash desktop slash and then the XML path. So that is a absolute path. Okay, so we could have the path either absolute or as a relative path depending upon where we want to jump, where we want to go in the XML file. Okay. And then we have a node test. A node test could be a name of the node itself, or it could be a wild character if we do not know what are the nodes we are looking for. Okay. And we can search all of these nodes by performing some node test functionalities on that. And we have some predicates. Predicates are conditions. Okay. These are checks to tell the XPath expression what I am looking for. Okay. So that conditions are called predicates. So these are the three components that defines the XPath expressions. Okay. So we can look at them in further details. So we have these location paths is a sequence of steps, that's what we have seen. Okay. A location step consists of a path test node predicates. Path test node predicates, the structure looks like this. Okay. Where the path may be a front slash, which is the root node. Okay. So this is a root node. Right. This tells that we are looking for certain elements, whatever we define here, wherever they are in the document, okay. Irrespective of their location. We will check them further in the detail. So the node test can be the name of the node, or it can be a wild character. In case here you see the steric. Steric means that we do not know what are the name of the elements, so we can search for all the elements in the XML file. And then we have some condition. So here the condition is contains, which is a method used here, but we can look at the method before. Here you see the predicates is always in the square brackets. So wherever you see these square brackets, you will immediately know that this is some sort of check, a condition, a predicate value. Okay. Here we are saying that pick the name of all those elements that contains the text chicken. Okay. So now we are going to take a look at illustratively how we can traverse between different trees. So assuming the XPath expression are evaluated in the context of XML document itself. So now we are trying to run, execute these XML, these XPath expressions on the XML document also. Okay. So whenever you see a tree structure or a file, that is the XML file that we are processing. So here you see the same XML tree structure, and we can see different types of definitions of each node with respect to its previous or preceding nodes. Okay. So for example, the very first node is the root node. Then a layer below, on the same level, on the same hierarchy, are all these child nodes. Okay, so these are B, B, H, are all the children of the root node. Okay, and there you can see the expression is also given on the top. So we have A. Okay, that means we are at the first node, since A is the root node in our case, so that's okay. And then we write a slash, that means we are changing the level. Okay, and the next is the steric. Steric means pick all the elements which are child of the root node. That means all these different three elements are highlighted. Okay, we can also write, we can define named children, where we are specifically telling the XPath to execute and pick only these two elements. There might be many more elements, but here we are telling that okay, A is the first element and we want to pick all the child of A which has a value B. So these are named childs. And then we can go further. Okay, so now in this case you can see C, C, D are the grandchildren of A and children of B, right? So in the expression you could see A slash change level, B slash change level, pick all the elements, whatever the elements are. Okay, and now here we again see that we have named grandchildren. So in this case, we are specifically telling the XPath expression to pick the grandchildren of A which has a name C. Okay, so we are defining specifically what we are looking for. You can do that if you know what the XML file contains and what are the elements. But if you do not know, you can use these wild characters, steric. Okay, and then we can look for further named descendants or unnamed descendants also. In this case, we are looking for the named descendants. That means we have specifically point out the name of the element that we are looking for. In this case, it's C. And what we are telling the expression, in the expression, that find C irrespective of their location. Okay, so this is irrespective of where they occur in the document. Right, so it picks all these C elements wherever they are in the document. Okay, so in this document, are there reasons for choosing the XPath expression slash A slash B rather than double slash B? Okay, so did we do it intentionally to write the expression as the first case, or we could have done it the other way also? Okay, so if we know what we are looking for, okay, and in this case we know what we are looking for, we are looking for the element B. Okay, if we want to find all the elements B irrespective of their location and irrespective who is its parent, who is its child, who is its grandchild, we can use the second equation, right? Then we can search for all of these B elements wherever they are. But if we are only looking for elements B whose parent node is A, then in that case we have to write the first equation, right? We can write the first expression. But as you can see, in this case we have two B values and both are under the A, so both are child of A. So whether we write equation like this, that pick all the B nodes which has a parent A, it will give us those two B nodes, or whether we write that pick all the B nodes wherever they are, irrespective of their position, still it will pick those two nodes because we do not have an additional node element B. But if let's say we have an node element B after this F, then in this case we will get three B elements, and in that case we will get only two B elements which are at the top. We will not get the last one. So this one is quite easy, because in this example that we have, it does not matter which expression we write, but still you need to know the difference if in the exam we have these kinds of tree structure, and if you have been asked which one do you use, so you need to know which one to use. Okay, is that clear? Any questions? So then we can go further down in the tree and traverse all these preceding or descendant nodes also. So you can have named direct children of descendants. For example, it says /C, so that means find C wherever it is in the document, and then find its child element, which is E. Okay. So then it finds all these C elements irrespective of their position in the document, and it finds the E elements which is associated with it. And then we can go further and look for its grandchildren also. Okay. /, find all the elements wherever they are. So /, is C is after the /, so we are looking for C elements wherever they are in the document. Look for its child, which is E, and then go to its grandchild, the child of C, which is F, wherever they are in the document, right? So this is how we can traverse. So these are the very simple XPath expressions which is on the top. And if you can realize, if you have been working on Linux or different operating systems, even in Windows, if you are browsing a file, whenever you open the folder, you see like a web link space where you can give the directory listing. So this is the same sort of browsing. So you are browsing in the hierarchies of the XML tree structure. Now we have talked about relative path. Relative path means that we are moving from one place to another place with respect to some context in mind. Okay. So for example, if our context node is C, and if we want to go to E and find F, so we can write E slash change directory, change node, change level, and go to the F. Okay. But in this case, we are going here, we are not going here, we are not going to the E and the F, because the context is here. Okay. That means at this time we have opened the documents folder. If you are in the document folder, you can go either one level down or one level up, but with respect to documents folder. If you want to go from documents folder to any of your Z drive, okay, either you go back, you go to the main My Computer folder, and then from My Computer you pick the Z drive, right? So that means your context was changed in that case. You are not at the root node. Or what you can do, if you are in the My Documents folder, and if you want to go to the Z drive, you can leave as it is and use the absolute path. You can click your My Computer icon on the desktop. My Computer window will open, and then you can click the Z directory, right? But in that case, you have not used the context. You have used the absolute path. But now we are looking at the context, how we can use the context. So if you have some context, you are going to use a relative path, okay, as we have in this case over here. Then we can, if C is our context, the same, the node above is the parent node, right? You might have seen these kinds of notations. So it's a dot which represents the self node. And if we have double dots, it represents the parent node. So if your context is C and if you want to go to the parent node, you can go like this. So if you have been programming in C language or file structures or directories, okay, or if you have been writing client server applications, you might have used this quite commonly in your programming scripts. But that is shared across multiple and in many of these programming languages. It's more or less the standard. So XML XPath is making use of more or less the same notations that you're familiar with. And then if you want to go to again the B, either we can go like this from the context if we are at C, or as I gave you the example, we can start again from the root node. That okay, start from the root node and come down. If you do it like this, that means we are using the absolute path. Okay. So the absolute path always starts with the root node. The relative path always starts keeping in mind the context node. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, you get two B's. You can't do it in this case now, because whenever you say okay from A go to B, you will always get two nodes, because you are not specifying whether you have to pick first node, second node, third node. And until now we have seen the path, which is this, and the node test, which is this. We also talked about predicates, conditions, and until now we have not applied any predicates to it. So for example, if our predicates is that we should pick only first element, we have to make use of the predicates, right? So this is our these two things are path, the first element we saw. These are our node tests B and A, where we want to go. And this is the predicate, our logical statement, what we want to do if we want to further refine our search. So there are different conditions that we can make use of to tell we want to go to the first B or the second B. Okay. So we can use function, which is position equals to 1, that will pick the first B in its case, right? But we will go through them in the next slides. Okay. So until now we have seen what is context, what is node tests, what are different attributes also. So the context node is the node that we are, and from that context node we can go to the other nodes using the relative path. Okay. Node test is the nodes that we are evaluating. Okay. Attributes, we have not used any attributes in the example so far, but we will see how to use these attributes also. Okay. So that's what we have already seen. It's some bunch of text for you to understand, but I've already explained it. I'll go through it very quickly. If you have any questions, you can ask me. Okay. So the context of a path evaluates consists of a context node, a context position and the size. If you are at the first node, your context position and size is 1. If from this node to the other node, your position might change depending upon how many nodes you are jumping. A set of namespace declarations. We have not used the namespace yet, but it could be namespaces also in the XML file, and we have different functions to evaluate if you are trying to figure out which root elements have namespaces. Okay. And if the path starts with slash, then the initial context node is the root element. That's what we have seen. If it starts with this, that means it's an absolute path. That's the root node. We are starting from the very start. The initial position and size are 1 in case of root node. So these are different node tests methods functions that you can use. These are predefined in the X path expressions 1. Okay. And the version that is available right now is X path 2. Many browsers sometimes do not have all these functions implemented which are available in XPath 2. Okay. So the examples we have in this class are from the functions of XPath 1, but if you want you can look further of what these expressions are, what these functions are, but we are going to take a look at very basics. So these are different functions that you can use at the node test to check whatever you are going to do. For example, you can have a node element B, okay, and then you can tell it to display only the text which is contained in that node B. So do not display the node element with the tags, okay, but display the text, the value which it contains. Okay. So we can use these different functions like this. And then we have the node which picks all the nodes. We have star, steric, which picks all these different elements. For example, we can write like this. The first example. From A, pick all the elements. We do not know how many elements are there, but pick all of them. Okay. So these are the different wild characters. And then at sign is used if you are picking an attribute, okay, and then you have different qnames, at qnames, okay, ncn names, node content name, and different methods. But we will use only the ones, the easy ones. We will not go into too much of these elements because once you get hold of how to write the XPath expressions, you can go further into too much details. So attributes are referred to using at prefix. So if you are picking some attributes of the elements, we can use at reference. For example, here you see finding all H reference attributes of A element. If you have written or coded any of these HTML pages and if you want to give a link, okay, your link starts with this tag. Okay. This A specifies that there is going to be some link. And in order to give that path to this link, you use this hreference attribute, and then whatever web page you want to whatever you want to specify here, okay, and then you can have many other attributes also, but here you see this is an HTML tag which is A, and you can use this tag in your XML file also. It has an attribute, so these are predefined attributes in the HTML. This has an attribute that tells that where we would like to go. Okay, so that's how you create a link in HTML page, and then there could be some text page also, text link, let's say link, and then you close your attribute element. So in XML, in HTML, whatever we are starting the element with, we have to close it. In XML, we have to explicitly close all these elements. Okay. This element has an attribute. Okay. This attribute has a value. We said the value should always be in the double quotes or single quotes. And then there is the text link. So if you write this line and save your HTML page, you will see in your browser a text written link. It will be underlined, and if you bring your mouse up, it will become like a hand and you can click and the browser can take you to this link, whatever that link is. So that's how you define HTML link. Anyhow, this was not important. The important thing is to explain you this example, but the example I need to make you understand this also, okay? So what we are trying to do, finding all H references attributes of A element. How we can do that? We know that that's how the XML file looks like, okay? and then encoding another parameters, let's say. Okay, so if this is an XML file, if you want to do that, how we can do that? Find all the A elements irrespective of wherever they are. So we used these two lines. So there could be many A elements in the document, okay, and we do not know where they are. So we are using this notation to tell pick wherever they are, irrespective of their position. Change directory, go to the next level, pick the attribute href. Here you see we have an at sign. So wherever you see the at sign in XPath expressions, that means that you are now evaluating an attribute. Okay. Now we will look at the predicates and the XPath function. So now we will see this portion of XPath expression. Okay, so this is the sample document. This is an XML file which is about the nutrition, and there is different elements. Okay, so the first element it has is food, and you can see the food node starts at the top after just below the N, and it finishes over here. Okay, but due to the space limitation, you do not see the rest of the file. So there are many food elements in this document, and the file is uploaded on your front end. So if you go to today's week, you can download this full file. Okay, but here you see only a portion of it. So that means we have a root node which is nutrition. Okay, we have a root node which is nutrition. We have then food node. Okay, and then as I said, and I hope you all trust me, so there are many food nodes below this also. Okay, so I'm just going to point out that since all these food nodes are on the same level, so these are all child of this, and you can see what are the further child of F. Okay, so there is this name, it's MFR, which is the manufacturer, serving, calories, total fat, saturated, minerals, and all these vitamins, proteins are subchild of it, and there you could see further subchilds in that node. So you have a full hierarchy XML file here. Okay, and you can see that some of these elements, for example the serving, the third child of food. Okay, yeah, so here you see the serving has an attribute, units. Right, not all elements has attribute. This name does not have any attribute. It only has a text, which is avocado dip. The manufacturer does not have any attribute. It only has a value, text. Right, but in this case, the serving has units. So, for example, if we have to pick some elements, okay, whose serving size in grams is greater than 7, so that means we have to use the attribute to evaluate the XPath expression in this case. Okay, okay, so we have seen that we have XPath predicates. Predicates appears in these square brackets. Now considering that you have that XML file as an .xml extension, the file is saved somewhere, and we want to pick different elements from them based on the given criteria. Okay, so what is required from you is this statement, and you have to execute and write XPath expressions in order to find that information. And this is something very important from the exam point of view also. Okay, so if you do not understand anything, feel free to ask, but try to understand. If you have been able to understand this, you will be able to understand that also, and you will be able to make complex queries, complex expressions. So for example, food high on sodium, that means we are looking for the food element which has a high quantity of sodium, right? So that means food, we have seen, is the child of this node. So if you want to go to the food, we have to first traverse this, right? Or we can use double slashes also if we are looking for all the food elements. And then here the example is amount of sodium is at least 400 units per serving. That means we have some condition. Okay, your teacher is not so nice, he is making you write complex equations. Okay, so that's why the condition is bit complex, right? So you will not get very easy statements to evaluate in your exams. It could be tricky ones, but you will normally have conditions which are sometimes tricky enough to put your mind into it, put your brains into it, and you have to think before you start writing. Okay, so that's the equation. That means that we know what the condition is. Amount of sodium is at least 400 units per serving. Okay, so we need to have a condition which tells us that the sodium should be greater than 400. Okay, and sodium belongs to what? It's a child node of food element. Okay, so we are applying the predicate condition to the node element in which we are interested in. So we are interested in food high on sodium. Sodium is a part of this node. Okay, part of this node. We are evaluating this node based on this, its child node. Okay, so we have nutrition N, food node. Okay, and what condition we are applying? Pick only those sodium nodes which has a value greater than 400. There could be many sodium nodes with all these food elements. Some of them might have value, let's say 20, some have value 500, some will have value 750. We are not interested in all of them. We are only interested which has a value greater than or equal to 400, right? So you are shortlisting what you are interested in. So you have this predicate logic. Pick S which is greater than or equal to the value that we are interested in. Okay, so this is your XPath expression to answer your first query above there, right? So you understand this? So we'll take a 15 minutes break. We'll start at 9:15. Okay, and then we will look at more of these queries, and we will execute them in one of these interpreters, free compilers also. Okay.